you waiting was hard, and especially when it involves pain, when it involves holding something up. But I did tell you I was going to come back, and I did. So I didn't leave you standing there forever. And in our passage today, we're going to see how waiting is hard, but Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to judge and rescue. So waiting is hard, but Jesus is coming back because he's going to judge and rescue. So let's, if you haven't got your Bibles open already, so James, we're in chapter 5. And it's on page 1216. 1216. Chapter 5, and we're starting at verse 7. If you want to look up when you've got there, and then I know that you found it. Great. Okay, starting at verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear not by heaven or by earth or by anything else, that your yes be yes, and your no, no, or you will be condemned. So James earlier in chapter 5 has actually been telling off people because they're very wealthy and they have been greedy with their money. And in fact, they've failed to pay the wages of the workmen. And it's not because they don't have enough money, it's because they're loaded and they're actually just using it for themselves. And so now in our passage, James turns to those who have been burnt by those people who haven't paid them. He's talking to the workmen now. And he's speaking to the workmen who didn't get paid. I'm sure you can all relate to this, maybe not getting paid, because probably none of you have jobs, except a few of you. But I'm sure there's been plenty of times when you've been treated unfairly. Maybe even this week. Maybe even today. Maybe even tonight. But does James tell them to get even? Well, have a look down at verse 7. No, they are to be patient. Now that's not our natural reaction, is it, when we've been treated unfairly? We want to tell people about it, and we want to get justice now for it. But James says they are to be patient, they're to wait. And he uses the illustration of a farmer. He says, can a farmer do anything about the rain? No, he has no control over the rain whatsoever. He just has to wait for it to come in order for his crops to grow. So why does James tell them to be patient or to wait? Well, have a look at verse 8. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Jesus is coming back to the earth. And when he comes back, he will judge others. Waiting is hard, but Jesus is coming as judge. And when Jesus comes, it will be a day of justice. He will right every wrong. So we can wait knowing that when he comes back, he will judge perfectly. And not only will Jesus judge the wrong of others, but he will judge us too. Can you see that in verse 9? The judge is standing at the door. He sees everything. He sees everything we do, and he sees everything others do. A bit like when you were all standing there with your Bibles in the air. I was actually standing at the door. I could see everything that you were doing. But Jesus can see everything we do now. And it's not just what we do that he sees, but what we say and think too. He knows everything. That's pretty scary, isn't it? I wouldn't want anyone to know what I think at times. And the thought of knowing that God sees everything I think and do, well, that's terrifying. Because I don't love God as I should, and I certainly don't love others as I should. And it's really easy for us to see the bad in other people, isn't it? It's really easy to go, oh yeah, they're always doing bad things. It's easy to see the problem in others, but not so much inside of us. And you might be thinking, well, I don't hate God. In fact, I come to 41 every week since it started, and I'm a pretty good person. We all like to think we're pretty good, don't we? But imagine this with me. So imagine you're shopping with your mum and dad in Tesco for a new TV. And after a while, because they've looked at several, it gets quite dull and you're a bit bored. And all of a sudden, a DVD starts playing on one of the TV screens. And it's a DVD of your life. Everything you've ever said and ever done and ever thought is on this DVD. Now, there'd be some parts of it that you'd be really proud of, like that time that you won that award in assembly, and you'd want everyone to see that. But there'd be other parts of it that you wouldn't want anyone to see, especially not your parents. You'd be really ashamed. And then if you think that was bad, all of the TV screens in Tesco start playing this same DVD. I mean, it would be horrible, wouldn't it? You'd want to run and try and turn them all off. It would just be horrific. And the Bible says that we all sin because none of us love God and or others as we should. The fact is that none of us are good. And the worst bit is that Jesus sees it all. But there is good news. Jesus is coming as judge, but Jesus isn't just a judge. Have a look down at verse 11. The Lord is full of compassion. Can you see that at the end of verse 11? Jesus doesn't want people to go to hell. And we know this because he loved us enough to come and die for us. He's compassionate to you and me, to those who don't love him as we ought. He's merciful to those who don't even love others. We will never be good enough for God because we have a sin problem. But Jesus died for our sin problem. And if we recognise that our hearts are never going to be good enough for God, if we believe that Jesus loved God perfectly for us, then we will be safe from his judgment. Instead, he will take us home with him. He will rescue those who are his. Those who know they aren't good and need Jesus to rescue them. And if you're here tonight and you know that you have a bad heart, well then you're in the right place. Because we all have bad hearts. But we know that Jesus' heart is not bad. Jesus is our only rescue. And if you know that, then you do not need to fear judgment. Because Jesus took the punishment of sin that we deserve for our bad hearts on himself. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve for our bad hearts on himself. And he did it because of verse 11. He is full of compassion and mercy. So what will this mean for us then? Well, when we are waiting for Jesus, we will find life hard now. We will suffer. That's right, we will suffer. James gives us the example in verse 11 of Job. And the story of Job, he's in the Old Testament of the Bible. And Job suffered a lot. We've been looking at it on Sunday mornings here at church. He lost everything he had. He lost his family. He lost his home. He lost his job. Everything. But through it all, he never blamed God. He knew that his relationship with God was far more important than anything he had in his life. And in the end, God gave Job all he had lost back to him, and more, he blessed him. And if we trust in Jesus, well then, we're going to suffer like him. Okay, we may never get crucified on a cross, or suffer like to the extent that Job did, who lost everything, but we will suffer. If we're Christians, then, well, we might get ignored at school for being a Christian. We might not get invited to parties because our friends know that we're not going to get drunk with them. So is it worth it? If being a Christian means going, I'm going to have to suffer, then, well, is it worth it? Well, yes, because the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Jesus suffered so that one day we wouldn't have to, so that one day there would be no more suffering. And James is saying here to wait for the day when Jesus comes back, because he will rescue his people. Now, holding onto your Bible above your head was hard for some of you. Suffering in life is hard. Waiting in life is hard. But Jesus is coming back. And when he does, he will judge and rescue. When Jesus comes back, those who are trusting in him will go to be with him, where there is no more suffering at all. God doesn't promise us a comfortable life here and now, but he does promise us a glorious future. We can wait even when it's hard, because Jesus is coming to rescue his people. He will rescue those who are trusting in his death for their sins. And we can wait for him knowing that one day, soon, he will take his people home to be with him.